Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
We're in our series called Generous. For those of you who are visitors here or are guests with us, we welcome you. We hope this won't be your last time. You're welcome anytime to come. And so we've been going through the series. We're going to end the series today with probably the most famous passage about generosity in Scripture. So if you have a Bible, go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. It's in the New Testament, the latter half of the Bible. I believe it's after 1 Corinthians, I believe. That was a dad joke that feel free not to laugh. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. I'll start from verse 6. And it says here, the point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Everybody say cheerful giver. Cheerful. Check your neighbor, make sure they got a smile on their face. Are they cheerful today? All right? Okay. Some expressions just changed right there. That's all right. And God is able to make all grace abound to you so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. Wow, that's a great promise. As it is written, he has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way. Everybody say every way. To be generous in every way. Everybody say every way. Which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of the service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and all others, while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. How many of you are thankful to God for his inexpressible gift? No matter what expression or of response we have, it will never be enough to thank him for the gift that he has given us. Title of my message today is Hoarding by Nature. Hoarding by Nature. Father, we pray that you would enable us to embrace your spirit of generosity. Even as we're about to celebrate Christmas, we celebrate the greatest gift that was ever given to us as humans, Lord, and the salvation that was brought by your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, if there was anybody that embodied generosity at its ultimate length, we thank you that you are that example. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son so that whoever believes in him should not die but have everlasting life. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And someone shouted amen? Amen. All right, I'm going to read you a story. Story time with Nelly, everybody. Rebecca, you might remember this because I actually heard it from your dad first. There was a young lady who was waiting for her flight in the boarding room of an airport. And as she had to wait for hours, she decided to buy a book and spend her time there. And so she bought a packet of cookies. And then she sat down at the armchair in a VIP room of the airport to rest and read in peace. Beside the armchair where the packet of cookies was kept, a man sat down and opened his magazine and started reading. And she ate the first cookie. The man also ate one. She felt infuriated, but didn't say anything. She just thought, what a nerve. If I were in the mood, I'd punch his eye so that he didn't forget this daring. To each cookie she ate, the man ate another one. And that wasn't letting her fume up with rage, but she couldn't react because she was a Christian. When only one cookie remained, she thought, what will this abusive man do now? The man now divided the last cookie through the middle, giving her the other half. That was too much. She was too angry. She took her book, slammed it, took her belongings, and headed to the boarding place. And when she sat down inside the plane on her seat, she looked into her purse and taking out her eyeglasses. And to her surprise, her packet of cookies was there. untouched and closed. She felt so ashamed. She realized she was the wrong one. She had forgotten her cookies were kept in her purse. The man divided his cookies with her without feeling infuriated, nervous, or mad, while she was mad thinking that he was the one dividing her cookies. And there was no more time to explain to herself or say thank you or apologize. How many of you would have ever done something similar? No matter how you cut it, in whatever culture you come from, there's always a word that describes somebody who is a miser. I want to throw up a few words in different languages here. Some of you might be familiar for my Tagalog speaking people, kuripot. In Samoan, ayu. But no matter what language or what culture you come from, there's always a term for someone who's a miser or somebody who's a holdout. Back in the day, in New Zealand where we grew up, I don't know if people still use the phrase "stally." What a stally! Because they stall in wanting to share the thing with you. But in most cultures, you would find a term, and I like the slang terms because there's usually a proper term and then there's the slang term. I always like finding. How many of you come from a culture and you have a term in your culture for somebody who is a miser or who holds back? Anybody have that? None of you. Oh well. Just generous cultures you come from. It's interesting to note, you know, because we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, but in the verses preceding it, there's a word, the word blessing comes into play a couple of times. And the word that's used for blessing in the Greek is the word eulogia, which is where we get the word eulogy from. It speaks of a special kind of blessing. So there's many words that are used for the word blessing, but there's a special use of the word eulogia here because it describes a person who is blessed, the sort of blessing that marks someone's life. Does that make sense? Like the sort of blessing that you walk in is not just a one-time blessing, that you walk in this blessing as a child of God. That your life has been marked with blessing. You know, when you hear a eulogy, it's usually at the end of someone's life, people begin to share about the life of somebody. They were kind, they were great with love, they were funny, they were hilarious. Have you ever asked yourself whether what words would be said of you for my Tagalog people? Would it be said that you were koripot, you know? Hopefully not, or ayu, or whatever it may be in your culture. Hold out, stally, you know, tight. My prayer is that we would all, as a church, and the church being made up of individuals, be looked upon as we model Christ. We model something that was in the essence of his nature, which is generosity. He is a generous God. Now, we're going to break this scripture down as we go to it. I want you to catch a few truths here. There's so much in this scripture, and as I've said before many times, this should just whet your appetite to want to dig in this passage a lot more, because there's so much here that I can't cover in the next 4 hours that we have together. So I'm going to try and do my best. That was a joke, visitors. Some of you are like, what did I get myself into? I can go there. I can go that long, but I am also hungry. So verse 6, hungry for the word. That's right, Adele. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. There's a direct correlation between your giving and your getting. There's a direct correlation between them. Like, when you look back at that verse, think about it for a moment. When you sow sparingly, that is also what you will reap. There's a direct correlation between the amount you sow. So some of us need to ask one of two questions. Either you're the sort of person that would ask the question, man, I need to check my heart because I have stuff that I can sow. In this passage, he's talking about finances. I have things that I can sow. And so I should sow my seed. But here's the thing. See, if you are faithful in sowing bountifully, even with little, God will, it's amazing that if you walk in the eulogia of God, that he will bless you with even more. It's the nature of how he works, right? Like, if you are faithful in sowing with the little, like as Tina and I are raising our kids, we're teaching them to sow to tithe and to give offering and to pray about who they might bless with the little that they have, so that when they grow older, they would reap bountifully as they grow older in their later age. So if we can learn this on the front end, we change the nature of how we walk in the eulogia, the blessing of God. Are you with me?
Yes.
There's a direct correlation between the amount you give and the amount you get. And see, it's not that God needs your money. How many of you have figured that out? Like, God doesn't need your money. He's not like, oh, can you spare some change? He has more change. You know when you have your couch and money falls between the back cushions and you can't reach it at the back and it's all nasty? At the back there's like remnants of six-month-old potato chips and stuff. Not at my house, but some of your friends' houses, you know, you're just reaching in there, your hand comes out orange from Cheetos and stuff. And, you know, like he has more money in the back of that couch in heaven than the whole world times infinity has. So what makes you think that he needs money? He doesn't need money, but he's good soil. And if you sow in the economy of heaven, you get the economy of heaven type blessing. Like, you might go to Commonwealth Bank or go to Westpac and you get that type of interest rate. You know, it's a percentage. But God is in the business of 30-fold. That's not 30%. That's 30 times 100%. 60-fold and 100-fold. That's the sort of sowing that God wants us to sow. And it's not, again, it's not that God needs your money, but we need to give our money in order to walk in the bounty of what God has for us, because there's a direct correlation between our giving and our getting. It's cyclical. It works in a cycle, because the more you get, the more you're able to give. And the more you get, the more you're able to give. And God just keeps on bringing it, and you just keep on giving it. And it just makes for this avalanche in the Spirit. Some of you don't want to believe that. It's really quiet in here, Jomer. John 3:16, the most famous verse in the Bible. For God so loved the world that he what? Played it a slow jam? That he slow danced with it? No, he gave. There was a response. See, talk is cheap, but when you give, and not only give, but you give your best. For God so loved the world. Like you've heard me joke before, right? It's like so as in the California Valley in Los Angeles, right? You know how they say so? It's like so. He like so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that whoever believes in him — how many believers do we have in the house today — would not die, but have everlasting life. That's eulogia, baby. You better believe that. That's the sort of blessing that God wants us to walk in. Now, when he gave his son, it's not that the son was just any son, but it was his only begotten son. In Romans 8, verse 32, it says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how not also with him graciously give all things? If his son is on the table, you best believe everything else is on the table. Because the son is of himself. We celebrate the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, three in one. He gave of himself his best. And so if his best is on the table, everything under the best is on the table too. But we still choose to sow sparingly. Verse 7 of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. Give as he has decided in his heart. See, there's a well-known story of Billy Graham, the great evangelist, when he was young in his ministry and he was sitting in a church service and the offering plate came around and he had a $100 bill in his pocket and a $5 bill in his pocket, and he was getting ready to pull out the five and give it in the offering, but he saw his wife Ruth looking at him, so he put the five back and pulled the 100 out and put it in the offering. And she leaned over to him, as good wives do, and she said to him, "In your heart, you gave five." Giving my change back then, gosh. See, God doesn't need your money. He wants your heart. But he knows your heart is so linked to your money. So linked to your... He doesn't just want your money. He wants everything, actually. You know, like, Dave, how many of you thought Dave did such a wonderful job talking about tithes and offerings, just breaking it down from Scripture, Old and New Testament. Look, a lot of us, and as I stated also, a lot of us say, you know, well, tithing is under the law, and so, you know, we don't need to observe it anymore. Well, tithing is 10%. Christianity under the new covenant is 100%. You need to give your car keys as well, according to Scripture. Like, He is Lord of all. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say? You know, to be His disciple, if you want to roll like the disciples did, they were homeless. They would dust their feet off and walk to the next village, not knowing where they were going to stay. You want to roll with that? You know, the tithe is just the beginning. And it's renewing our minds. I need you to understand this, my brothers and sisters. For those of you who are in working professions, you need to understand that income that you get, it's seed. It's not the harvest. The harvest comes as you invest the seed, as you put the seed down in the ground. You need to sow it so you'll reap bountifully. Yes, tithe towards the church. And for those of you who are guests visiting from other churches, you know, we don't want your tithe here. Go tithe and sow into where God has called you to sow and to tithe. But for those of you who call this place home, this is your storehouse that God feeds you spiritually and links you up in this community. Sow to the work of the kingdom of what God is doing through this house. Let's take ownership. Tithes and offerings coming here so that you will reap bountifully. And we will reap bountifully, yes, financially, but I'm believing that this place will be filled with multiple services. Man, you know what? I love Sunpack, but it's time to buy our own building, everybody. But that's not going to happen if we're kuripot. You feel me? It's not going to happen if we're ayu. It's not going to happen if we are misers, tight with ours. Just be faithful with the amount that God has given you. If it's not as much, you know, you might be seated next to a millionaire and you may think, oh, well, he's a millionaire. He can do it. No, you be faithful. If you only got $2, then give God 20 cents, man. And that's, you know, just be faithful. So bountifully with the bounty that you have. It may just be a bounty bar. Dad joke, but just go with it, all right? See, God wants our heart. Our heart is a lot more important than what's in our hand. But our hand's inextricably linked to our heart. What's in your heart to give? Verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound to you. Whew. Not just some of it, but all grace abound to you. I need some of that. I need all of that. Shower it on me, God. Lord, I didn't just want to touch. I want the outpouring of what you have for me. All grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times. Look, you may hate the prosperity gospel, but I'm here to tell you that if you walk in the gospel, I'm sorry, you do walk in all sufficiency at all times. This is a promise to those who are sons and daughters bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. God gives you an all sufficiency for all things at all times, that you may abound in every good work. Now, that's the caveat. You may be wondering, well, I'm not abounding in all things. A good thing to check is your work good? Now, I want you to check that, because it says, having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. Okay? Some of us are pursuing a work that is not good, and we're wondering why we're not abounding in all things. That's probably why. It's because your work ain't good. Like, either the standard of your work is not good, or it's not the good work that God's called you to do. And that's why you're not abounding in all things at all times. Because God apportions what He wants to apportion to you if you're doing what He's called you to do. So verse 9 of chapter 9, as it is written, He has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now, I want you to catch this. Verse 10, He who supplies seed, everybody say seed. Seed to the sower and bread, everybody say bread. Bread for food. Seed to the sower, bread for food, will supply and multiply your seed. Not just multiply your bread. I want you to notice that. Because we like the finished product. Just give me the finished product, God. But how many of you know, like, you get a lot more out of a seed, because in the sowing of the seed, you have to wait. And during the waiting period, there's a work that God does in you as you wait upon the harvesting. For sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. Now I want you to catch this truth. You sow seed, you eat bread. Okay? Some of us may like sunflower seeds in here. Like to pop those things. Everybody say this with me. You sow seed, you eat bread. Have you ever asked yourself, is what I have in my wallet bread or seed? Because God has shown me that He's going to give me this, and maybe a certain amount. Like we're coming to the start of a new year, and I would encourage you, you know, we're going to be doing a church fast globally with our Every Nation family from the 9th of January and with our Every Nation family around the world. And so during that time, I would encourage you even over the next couple of weeks to pray about what faith goals God would give you to believe Him for in this next year and ask Him what His faith goals are. Not ones that you just want, but ask Him, God, from heaven, show me what I'm to believe that You will do in my life. And then when He does it, when he states it for you to write it down, then write it down and mark it down as bread. And don't settle for anything less, because anything less is seed. Are you with me? Like if God says that, for instance, okay, I'm going to get off money because some of y'all are looking at me offended right now, and I'm going to go towards evangelism, for instance. If I'm believing for the salvation of a cousin of mine, that one of my cousins will come to know Christ, and I get to have a conversation with them, and I just get to share Jesus, they don't give their lives to Christ yet, it's still in seed form. I haven't reaped the harvest yet. So I don't just, woohoo, yeah. I mean, we testify, we praise the Lord for what He's done, but it's not finished yet. Are you with me? Like, don't reap the harvest too early. So it can be financially, it can be in believing God for the salvation of people. It can even be for some of us in this room who are believing for the healing of people that are close to us. Don't eat the seed. Are you with me? Like, He gives seed to the sower and bread to eat. He supplies both. But let's believe Him for seed, because seed is a lot more effective, and it teaches us how to wait, because in the waiting, He breeds more character to be able to carry more loaves of bread. I don't know about you, but I'm thinking of starting a bakery with my seeds. Verse 11, you will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. Now, here's where I'm going to land the plane. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. This is the cycle, and I want you to catch this, everybody. If you will be rich, enriched in every way. So God wants to enrich your life in every way. That's not me, that's the Bible. Nobody caught that. You will be enriched in every way. So think about the different ways mentally. There's no reason next year can't be a year that you love God with your mind and you seek to equip yourself to be a stronger vessel that God can use for His glory, a sharpened tool. Oh God, I give you my butter knife mind. Why not believe Him for a samurai sword in the spirit with your mind? Sharpen your mind. We've got this Leadership 215 happening next year, and I'd be really excited to see all of you engage in that. We can give you more details on that. That's our leadership school where you can learn how to be an effective witness using theology and using a biblical worldview and apologetics to be able to break the gospel down no matter where you are in society, so that you will be an effective leader wherever God has placed you within your sphere of influence to reach your mission field, wherever God's called you to be. But let next year be a place where you would sharpen your mind. You'll be enriched in every way, financially, so that you can be a blessing. Again, I hope you caught it. The whole purpose as to why God blesses you is because He wants you to be generous so that you can give. It should be reciprocal. Now catch this. You are enriched in every way to be generous in every way. And I want you to catch the way that you should be generous in any way, every way, through your time, your talent, and your treasure. I don't have any money, Pastor Nelly. Well, you got time. Everybody in this world has time. The same 24 hours. You have the same 24 hours that Warren Buffett has. You have the same 24 hours that Barack Obama has. You have the same 24 hours that Beyonce has. Some of you didn't know the first two. I had to go there. Looking at me like, who's Warren Buffett? I'm hungry now, man. You have the same 24 hours. So if you don't have money, you've got time. Some of you need to use that time to make some monies to be generous with. I'm just saying. Hashtag just saying. Time, your talent, the giftings that you have. Taking those giftings the way that God's wired you. I look around this room, I see so many gifted people in this room. I'm not going to point people out. I'm so tempted to because you're so gifted. But taking those giftings and using them as opportunities to be generous. How can I sow this gifting that I have? For me, it's my mouth. If you haven't figured that out, it's whether I'm up here standing behind a keyboard and singing or I'm in front teaching people the word of God. That's what God's equipped me to do. And if I would be pathetic if I just kept this to myself, but God's called me to use this mouth to help in a generous way, be a blessing to help equip people so they can walk in their destiny in Christ. How are you using what God has equipped you with in terms of the talents and the gifts to be generous, to help people come to know the love and the grace of Jesus Christ? How are you using it? And your treasure, your finances. Now catch this again. You are enriched in every way, to be generous in every way, and that produces thanksgiving to God. In fact, when you are generous to other people, it's a form of worship to God because you are utilizing that which He has given you to glorify Him in the spreading of His gospel and your generosity. People can not understand where this, and it's one of the prevalent things that comes against the theory of evolution, is because the theory of evolution cannot explain generosity. Have you thought about it? Because in the theory of evolution, it's all about the strongest will survive. You know, like, how can I overtake you so that I can survive, so I can be the strongest breed around? Me and my people. I don't know. I've been listening to a lot of Moana, so I get really inspired listening, talking about sea explorers. You know, remember the coconut? And that's what evolution says. Who's the strongest? Well, our people did this. Well, our people did that. Have you ever thought about the way that God has uniquely wired us is to be a blessing and a generous people towards others? Whether it's your ethnicity and your culture, whether it's your own experiences, whether it's just the giftings that God's wired you with, what are you doing with them? What will be your eulogy about your eulogia? When people put an epitaph on your life, what will be said of you? What will be said of the way you've lived your life? He got degrees. He got a PhD. He got three of them. Then he died. There he is with flowers and his certificates being lowered into the ground. Ever thought about it? He has a 3-bedroom home and a Volvo van. He has made it. Then he died. There he goes into the ground with the keys to his Volvo van and his house. I mean, come on. Have you ever thought about your eulogy and your eulogia? Like, are you living in that place? See, you tap into the reason why you're alive when you embrace the spirit of generosity. That's the reason why you're alive. So I'm here to say, if you can catch this, it's like the process of precipitation that happens in weather. And we celebrate it here in Queensland by the truckloads, because although it only rains 65 days in the year, when it rains, it rains. Have you noticed? I used to live in a house that was struck by lightning 4 months into our stay here. It was a rude introduction to Queensland weather. I was like, Lord, did you really call us here? Or is this like us running to Joppa? Or, you know, we're supposed to be in Nineveh? I don't know. The process of precipitation is this, that as rain falls to the ground and fills waterways and fills certain areas, when there is heat, it forms evaporation, and then it pulls up the water into clouds. And as those clouds get heavier, rain happens again. Now, here's where I want to end today's message. See, as we receive, and we need to understand, God is the starting point for all this. He's the Alpha and the Omega. Everything begins and ends with Him. So He starts, as we were singing earlier, just by being who he is. He is good. Amen? Anybody here? Seven people. Can I get eight? Eight? Nine? Okay. He is a good God. He is a great God. He is a generous God. He is a loving God. He is a pure God. He is a holy God. He is a powerful God. He is an overcoming God. He is a loving God. He is a father. He is a shepherd. He is a king. He is all that and then some. That's who God is. So just by being him, he's worthy of our praise. And praise acts like the evaporation. The vapors of our praise rise like incense towards heaven and fill the clouds of heaven with more and more glory. And as the weightage of our praise begins to get heavier and heavier, the word in the Hebrew is Shekinah, the glory of the Lord falls down. Walking in that spirit of the eulogia, the blessing that God has for us, it's cyclical. I know that we hear gospel songs that say it all the time and it's really religious, but there's some truth to it. When the praises go up, the blessing comes down. Look, we don't praise him to get blessing. We praise him because he's good. But it's just inevitable because he is a good God that he's going to bless you anyway. Look, the prosperity gospel worships God with an agenda. Like, we want that. We want that Ferrari. We want that stuff. Look, stuff the stuff. God is good. He deserves our praise. I'm just going to praise him anyway. Through the deserts and through plenty, he is worthy. But I'm telling you, as we experience here in Queensland weather, the longer the dry spell, it just means the storm's going to be even heavier when it comes. And there is a when. It's not an if. There is a when. God is going to make it happen. But again, let's not be a church that just worships him just because we want stuff. Let's be a church that worships him because he is good. How many of you can testify to that? And that's the reason why we evangelize and we're generous with the gospel as well. It's because he's been far too good for us, to us. It's not an expectation. Look, if I evangelize more, maybe I can start a ministry. You and your ministry go sit down. Because you're going to be ineffective because it's not coming from a generous spirit.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.